In this week's Planet Korea, we're looking into a topic that's on everybody's lips, but not everybody fully has their head around what it involves and what it's going to mean in their lives. Blockchain is usually mentioned in connection with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, but a lot of industry experts say it goes way beyond that. It's a platform that can be used for currency, but it has limitless possibilities. So we asked our fearless reporter, Kang Jae-eun, to go out and ask some questions, bring us some clips, and just start a conversation on what's up with blockchain in Korea. She's here now. Hi, Jae-eun.
Good morning, Kurt.
What is blockchain?
So blockchain is a new network that allows us to make transactions more peer-to-peer directly and lower our use of intermediaries such as companies, banks, and even the government when we're making transactions. So if I were to simply put, when we think of traditional trade, when we make trade, whether it be a commodity or a service, we need to either go to the store or know the other person to get what we are asking for. Mm-hmm. But with blockchain, you can actually make the same trade without a middleman that looks over the whole transaction. So if I were to explain how this technology works, so whenever a transaction happens, this information gets logged, and instead of having a single company that holds the database of every transaction, which is done right now, the list of log is shared with every participant in the network. So in the log, new information can always be added, but you cannot delete or change past information. And the transaction, whether it be buying a service or a commodity or goods or whatnot, it goes through only after it is validated by everyone, or in this case, the computers holding the same list. And in order to guarantee its security, the network uses what we call a cryptography, a encrypted code, software code that helps encode all the transactions. So we can't really see what exactly happened between the two parties, but we know that a transaction actually went through.
Okay. Take a breath, because that was a lot.
Yes.
So it's basically just a shared, transparent, real-time ledger.
Yes.
Of anonymous transactions taking place. It sounds gigantic. I mean, if everybody on the network has got to maintain this ledger, electronic ledger of all transactions that have happened between everybody for all time, it's going to be humongous. And the thing that occurs to me is it's going to use a lot of energy and take up a lot of space. But it has the advantage of everything being perfectly transparent. There will be no single entity hacked that, you know, dumps all of these records. There will be no or very little fraud because everybody can see everything that's happening. So that's good.
True. It's kind of like a group chat room, if I were to give a really simple analogy. So if there's like five participants, maybe you and me, Jim, or Mark and Leah, if I, you know, sent a text in the group chat room, everyone knows, and because everyone is seeing the text. Yeah. So if you say that the text I said was false, you would have to ask around the people inside that network or the group chat room to verify if that's true or not.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. So there's no he said, she said kind of thing.
No.
Everybody goes, just look back at the chat stream. That's what happened.
Right, right.
And so there's one of the selling points for all of these sort of blockchain evangelists is transparency.
Yes.
And maybe we can actually ensure transactions in developing countries rather than have some, I don't know, warlord or middleman or potentate in this or that country say, just take my word for it that this is the case, that kind of thing.
Right, right. That's true. So that's why experts say that it's quote unquote, it's a secure distributed ledger, so simply put.
Secure distributed ledger. That's a good shorthand. And that's what gave birth to all the cryptocurrencies and stuff.
Right.
But we want to try and get beyond sort of the Bitcoin mania. This week, there's been some real, at least one, and there's always, it seems, some event related to blockchain going on.
Right.
So we sent you over to this big sort of conference that's been happening on blockchain.
Yes. So I went to this big conference called Seoul Blockchain 2018 that was held at Sebit Dungdungseom. So what's better to hear from an actual expert in order to understand blockchain, right?
Who have we got?
Well, we have the founder of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, as a clip, and also DK Wu, a computer science professor at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, and they will give a better explanation of what this technology is all about.
Let's hear it.
So blockchain is a new technology, and one way to think about it is, in a traditional database, we store individual bits of data on one computer. But with blockchain, many computers share the work of the database, and they use certain algorithms to decide various things. So it's a new way of storing data that may have a lot of implications for technology, but it's too early to know for sure.
Think of it as a ledger, you know, like in accounting, right? In an accounting ledger, you can add more rows of information, right? But you are not allowed to go back and delete the old ones, right? Because that would be destroying the historical record. That's what a blockchain is designed to do. So you can add new entries to this ledger, and everybody in the world shares the same ledger. But the main property is, once you've added an entry, a lot of machines on the internet will eventually converge to a state where they've committed to that change, and it builds a consensus, and it becomes nearly impossible for a hacker or somebody to overturn that consensus. So the great thing about this is this trust that the entire world knows this copy, this single blockchain that everybody is sharing, and many machines around the world are taking the burden of helping to store that in an uncorrupted copy. So we know, if I look up an entry, I'm looking up an entry accurately, and some hacker hasn't been able to give me a false version of that information. And so that's what's useful about blockchain.
So again, highlighting the transparency mm-hmm. element of it and the transactional element of it, which gets us back to cryptocurrency. I mean, blockchain and cryptocurrency are not one and the same thing, are they?
No, they're not. Well, they're interchangeable. Blockchain, so simply put, blockchain is the whole network of
sure.
this whole
distributed. The concept,
yeah,
almost.
The concept, yeah. And the environment. And cryptocurrency is a what we call a token, or a way to value the services or commodity that is trade. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when you are selling or buying something, you need this like medium of finance in order to, you know, pay money for it. So cryptocurrency is used in that way as well. But also it is in technical terms, a grease that kind of gets the wheel going yeah. in the blockchain environment, because cryptocurrency by definition is the art of solving or writing codes, and in order to validate all the logs or the ledgers of these individual participants in the network, you need to crack codes. And the first one to crack a code, they signal other people with the same ledger, and they're given a fee as an incentive. So that's a
token.
That's
the kind of coin, the value added that you provided, that's rewarded with this virtual currency.
And the reason why Bitcoin was so big was it was the first cryptocurrency to have an actual transactional value. So you can actually buy stuff with it, was Bitcoin.
Everybody can make a cryptocurrency. You and I could decide to make Jeunium,
yes,
the new currency.
Yes.
Mm. And and if people buy into it,
right,
and people are interested, currency is consensus.
Right.
So everybody believes in the dollar and the uh-huh. won and the renminbi, and that therefore it has a market value. It's difficult for me still mm-hmm. to understand exactly how the market value of some of these currencies are established.
Are volatile. Market value changes every 24 hours. So that's one of the problems of cryptocurrency. But yeah,
there's so much speculation.
Right.
I don't think anybody's actually going, yes, it's truly worth this, mm-hmm. you know, basket of goods. Mm-hmm. The value is hardwired with these sort of wild expectations of what it could be worth. You
yes.
know? Okay. So it is a topic of interest almost to the point of mania, right?
Right.
Why are people so superbly interested?
Well, because the data is divided into small pieces, it makes transaction much more faster and mm-hmm. also secure, which reduces the cost of everything. So experts are saying that blockchain can give new opportunities to actually rethink how parts of our society work.
Yeah.
It could reduce friction in the economy or create new services of way of doing business with each other. To give a good example would be a car sharing service that's very used internationally.
Sure.
We think that's part of a sharing economy, But blockchain is used to even break that middleman that connects the drivers and the customers, you know, connecting the drivers and the people who need the ride directly. So it is really changing the whole economic landscape that we're doing business. And experts say that it is an innovative technology that is able to develop later in the future.
Nation state agnostic, regulation proof.
Yes.
And geography independent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
If I agree with somebody in, you know, the back country of India that such and such a transaction should happen,
yeah.
that happens instantly, yes. electronically.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody who has, you know, no regulator is going to say, tell us no.
No.
And that person also doesn't have to go into the big city, open up a passbook account,
mm-hmm.
have all kinds of forms of ID and all of that. It's a bit of a wild, wild west. Kind of cowboy land right now.
Yeah, that is one of the concerns of a lot of experts are saying. You know, in order for this technology to be commercialized, people think that there needs some sort of regulation. But it's a tricky question because, you know, the whole idea of blockchain in itself is about decentralization.
Sure.
And that was one of the topics that were discussed at the conference that I entered. You know, how far should regulation go in order to, regulate this whole blockchain market.
Blockchain or cryptocurrency. And what happens when players that are perhaps not accepted in other financial transaction arenas, like our neighbors to the north,
yes.
like certain non-state organizations mm-hmm. in the world, what happens when they start wheeling and dealing in
right.
cryptocurrencies?
Mm-hmm.
How do you regulate that? But beyond the cryptocurrencies, what interests me is mm-hmm. Where can this blockchain go in terms of not just purely financial transactions,
mm-hmm.
Beyond cryptocurrency. Did you learn anything about that?
Well, yeah, yes. Cryptocurrency is just the tip of the iceberg when we think about applications of this technology. So to better understand how and where it could be applied, I talked with three experts that I met in two different events. So we'll hear three voices. The first voice we'll hear is a man named Simon Yu. He's the CEO and co-founder of a company named Storm. It's a blockchain company that aims to provide a platform that connects people directly. And the second person is a staff I met from a Bitcoin Center Korea. Her name is Catherine Bui. And the last voice is Harry Epanapoli, a business consultant who was one of the speakers at the Blockchain Seoul event.
Well, let's go ahead and hear it.
So, yeah, I mean, identity solutions, I think, is one of the use cases out there, too. So, for example, you don't want to share your social security or I think a lot of the Korean websites use Chumindo-bono. And then if those websites get hacked, essentially, then you could lose that information. And that's something that you don't want websites to get. Like, if my information gets stolen, can people make fake bank accounts and credit cards under my name? And then they can't. So I think that's an interesting solution. If you can decentralize this, then you can split it up into fragments where you can't have one key and you have different pieces where, so it just makes it a lot more difficult for hackers to be able to get into that. It's definitely an interesting use case.
So supply chains, that's basically from raw materials to out to the consumer. So when Apple makes a phone, you as the consumer, but also the business, wants to keep track of where did they get the raw materials from, which company is making what. So they have different companies making each component in the phone, and then they assemble it together. And having the supply chain on the blockchain is a way to keep track of everything. It's like a continuous line to make sure that you know where everything is coming from. And as a consumer, you could, if you were able to see this, if you were able to see which company makes cameras, which company is making the batteries, you could actually hold companies accountable for the things that goes on in the factories, because there's been a lot of scandals in terms of that the working conditions are so bad that people are committing suicide, and or there's been child labor. And then a lot of the times these big companies will deny it. They will say, no, this company has nothing to do with us, or they will say, we don't know anything about this. Whereas if they had the supply chain on the blockchain, they couldn't deny that.
Take, for example, health records. You as the patient will have the access. Your physician will have the access. Your pharmacy will have the access. These are the stakeholders in this thing. And people need to have appropriate information logged. Let's say another example is a medical tablet that you're buying, and from the manufacturing to all the way to the ship to various countries, it's a different things happen. Right now, there's a 30 to 40% in the African countries and other parts of the world, duplicate medications are happening. If it is blockchained, then you can prevent that fraud from happening.
Again, more middleman stuff. Get the middleman out, you get fraud, hopefully sidelined, and you increase transparency, you reduce costs. This is a refrain we keep hearing over and over. So I suppose, yeah, transparency is the central selling point of blockchain. And yet it's an anonymous set of transactions. You're just seeing the fact that the transaction happened, but you're not seeing who did what exactly.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of the interviewees actually mentioned about supply chain, and blockchain definitely is used in the whole distribution process more frequently in order to kind of understand the whole process of where the product came from and the whole process the product started out from the factory to the customer, as well as it is used in order to kind of get rid of fake luxury goods or to track like art or artifacts more efficiently, as one of the commenter actually mentioned. Because of its transparency and its security, it could also be applied to government government institutions and as voting as well. Some people say that the system can secure an election during voter registration, and it makes voting from overseas easier and help bolster the election security. You know, election security has been a huge issue in the U.S. recently, right? And they see the security and the transparency of blockchain as one of the solutions to kind of, you know, keep the security intact.
It's interesting. So if you've got a highly, and this links to the fact that with blockchain, you have a legitimate digital transaction where I have something digital, I give it to you, and I no longer have it anymore. You know, that the problem in the past with digital anything is that if I transfer it to you, I still have it. Like if I have an MP3 of that new hit song and I send it to you, I still have it. I can copy it infinitely.
Right.
If I have a blockchain token or whatever we call it, a vote, and I expend my vote via a blockchain transaction on a certain candidate, it's gone. My vote has been cast.
Right.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's one way that blockchain could be used in other areas apart from cryptocurrency or finance. Another really interesting area that blockchain is used in is in entertainment. So blockchain is used to create what we call a smart contract. So you have like the whole contract process uploaded on a blockchain. So especially for entertainment, where like contract ethics is a big issue, you know, you can use the information in the blockchain to prove exactly where and who you showed your copyright to, you know, when you're getting the whole money and the profit from your artwork and whatnot. And also because people use blockchain cryptocurrency to fund stuff nowadays, it's more you don't have to go through the middleman to get you know, get your project funded as well. A lot of celebrities, not a lot, but some celebrities are actually experimenting with this idea. I heard a one woman singer in the US actually used blockchain to fund for her new single album, and it was a success. So yeah, they are actually using this whole transparency and this secure aspect of blockchain to kind of make a more safer and more transparent environment for artists to create their, to do their projects and create their artwork.
Wow. Yeah. So decentralization, empowerment of small, small players, things like that. And, you know, we've touched upon sort of the social impact that if you don't have a robust infrastructure of banking and financial services and whatnot, still, you can be empowered by blockchain.
Right. In Venezuela, where there's a hyperinflation going on, they're actually using cryptocurrency to buy goods. because it's less volatile than the actual Venezuelan currency.
Well, you can't trust the currency. I mean, the currency is so inflated and it's so subject to tampering that blockchain may actually be more efficient. I know you've got one more clip and time is starting to creep up on us. So let's talk a little bit about specifically how Korea is implementing blockchain or kind of wading into the waters.
Sure. So Korea definitely is gearing up to be one of the blockchain leaders of the world. And a lot of international blockchain companies are coming to Korea to take advantage of the IT infrastructure. However, experts say there are still some challenges these blockchain companies are facing. So in the last clip, the expert name is Do Sang-hyuk, and he is a head of a blockchain research center, and he will talk about some difficulties and some struggles these blockchain companies go through to expand their business here in Korea.
Okay.
한때는 아마 우리나라가 그래도 IT 강국이었잖아요.
Korea was once known as an IT powerhouse, right? So to uphold their reputation, Korea needs to take the lead in developing blockchain technology. But because the current blockchain regulations are being made merely for regulation's sake, many of the major IT firms in the country are choosing to do projects overseas, and it is disappointing to see that.
지금 많이 나가고 있는 추세예요. 매우 안타깝다라고 저는 생각이 들고 일단은 블록체인에 대한 정확한 이해도 자체가 없는 것 같아요.
But it seems that the government does not really understand what blockchain technology is. To be blunt, they can't make any judgments or predictions about the future of this industry due to a lack of understanding. And that's why a lot of the policies they come up with are so disappointing. The people that are in charge of coming up with policies should attend conferences like this or other meetups so they know where this industry is headed.
그래야 이게 방향이 이렇게 가는구나 그런 부분들.
Korea, I mean, every other day, it seems you're reading a headline about how Korea is initiating this or that pilot program to integrate or to foster blockchain solutions to various things.
Yeah, you mentioned pilot program. So recently, Governor of Jeju Island, Won Hee-ryung, announced plans to make Jeju a blockchain incubator. So promising an environment that is regulation-free and safe for blockchain companies to develop and grow. He said that he will come up with some new plans to suggest to the central government, as well as give more less regulations for companies to develop their business in the island. But the sad fact is that currently a lot of local blockchain companies in Korea are partnering with companies, especially in Japan and China, because the environment is not blockchain friendly enough for developers and entrepreneurs to fully experiment with their ideas. So there still needs some room for improvement. Also, politicians need to really go to these events and see the technology in their very own eyes to kind of understand what this is all about. And I do recommend people who are interested in blockchain to actually go, not just read about it, but actually go to these events and experience the technology.
Yeah, blockchain could be the new normal soon. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see a bit of a competition between countries as different as South Korea and China to see who can be a little bit more laissez-faire, a little bit more sort of encouraging of the whole use of blockchain, especially surprising with China. But they are pushing more and more towards currency-less transactions for various things. Jaehyun, hugely informative. Thank you very much for the hard work. I appreciate it.
Thank you.